Roof Brush and Oak Tom headed the party that had set out from Redwall at dawn. They were all heavily armed and determined to help Melisande Flagg against the sea rats. Cutting off the path, they entered the woodlands. Tom and Tree Rose swung off into the foliage to scout ahead. Gabe Quill brandished a big bung mallet angrily.
I'll see rat and the filthy vermants.
Roof turned to him.
Keep your voice down, Gabe. Out! Watch where you're poking that lance, burgo. Pooh, are you chewing wild garlic again?
Brr, oi, sir. Found some of the pesky stuff over yonder. I can't avoid the smell, though I dearly do love its taste. Apologies about the lance, sir.
Chuck ye lance away,
Formal whispered in Burgo's ear.
You could slay him and ease with thy breath.
Over here, straight ahead.
Oak Tom called out from a high horn beam.
It's Melisande Flagg bearing a stretcher.
The Red Wallace flocked around Rosie, gabbling questions at her rescuers.
She dead?
Dearie, she seemed bad cut off.
Where did you find her, Flagg?
In a shine of clarity of time.
Do you think she'll live?
Melis silenced them with a growl.
Stop all this silly chattering. We must get this hare to Redwall as speedily as possible. You squirrels, will you get back to the Abbey as quickly as you can? Tell Sister Serena, Simeon, the Abbot and Sister Sage to have all their medicines ready and a room in sickbay cleared out. Right, off you go.
The three squirrels went off through the top terraces of the woodlands like greased lightning. Reddy Paws gripped the stretcher, steadying Rosie as the group broke into a fast trot. Grey Patch limped badly from an arrow that had pierced his leg. He gazed around at the smashed cage, the smouldering embers of last night's fires, and the carcasses of dead sea rats that littered the ground like fallen leaves. They were piled in a heap in the middle of the camp. He prodded the lifeless forms with his sword. Somewhere beneath that heap lay two hares and a squirrel. The sea rat captain shook his head and slumped down upon a rock.
Three hares and a squirrel did all this?
He murmured disbelievingly. Deadglim shambled over. He leaned on a broken spear, nursing the place where his left ear had been.
18 left alive, Captain. Well, it would be a score, but two went after the hare that got away.
Grey Patch massaged his leg, wincing.
18, is that all?
Aye, Captain. What's your orders?
Grey Patch stared into the surrounding forest he had come to hate. Mossflower country. The whole thing had been a catalogue of disaster since they arrived. He had stolen the Dark Queen and set sail from Terramort with a crew of 100 able-bodied sea rats. And now he was sitting in this landlocked hell of greenery with only 18 left.
Tell the crew to pack up. Lock, stock and barrel. We're pulling out of this stinking place. I'm going to find the Dark Queen, get her seaworthy and sail out to the open sea where we can breathe again.
A slow smile formed upon Dead Glim's coarse face.
Aye, aye, Captain Greypatch. I'll do that with pleasure, sir.
Tree Rose paced the corridor outside the sick bay. Abbot Bernard came out with a basin and a stained towel.
Ah, Tree Rose, see if you can get some clean, warm water and a fresh towel for me, pretty one.
Tree Rose's voice betrayed great anxiety.
How is Rosie, Father?
The abbot wiped his paws on his wide sleeves, a smile creasing his kindly face.
You know, I didn't believe it at first, but she's going to be all right. Thanks to your warning, the creatures who got her here so fast, and the marvellous skills of Simeon and Sister Sage. Yes, Tree Rose, she's going to be around for quite a number of seasons yet to come, so you stop that crying now, and get me fresh water and a clean towel.
Mother Mellis came out to stand in the corridor with the abbess.
What was all that about, Father?
No, nothing really. It just surprises me how overnight that young squirrel has changed from a spoilt brat into a really nice, helpful creature.
Mellis patted the abbot's frail back.
Then we must be doing something right, the way we bring our young ones up at Redwall, eh?
The abbot bowed gallantly.
The way you bring them up, Mellis.
Saxtus lay on his back in the strawberry patch with the Dibbons. Bag and Run chattered incessantly as they decimated the latest crop of ripe fruit.
Have all the sea rats gone now, Saxus?
Suppose so. We haven't seen them for a while.
And they're not coming back to attack the Abbey again?
I hope not. Why do you ask?
Oh, nuts! I wanted them to come back so I could fight them!
No, you don't, little one. We've had enough fighting and killing. Isn't it much nicer lying here, filling your tummy with strawberries in the sun?
Suppose so, but I can't get at the biggest and juiciest and squashiest ones.
Why not?
Because you're lying on them.
Sextus got up slowly, feeling the cold juice running down his back.
Well, thank you for telling me so soon.
Grubb plonked himself down and began stuffing strawberries three at a time.
I see the winds blowed all these strawberry trees away again.
Sister Sage was creeping from the sickbay with Simeon on tip-paw. They had done all they could with the hare's dreadful injuries. Now they decided it was best that she sleep and recuperate. The hinge squeaked as Sister Sage opened the door. Rosie opened one eye and peeked through the bandaged slit.
Never died after all, what? Good show.
Simeon leaned on Sister Sage's arm.
Incredible. Totally unbelievable. I've heard of cats having nine lives, but that Rosie, she's the limit.
Sister Sage shut the door as quietly as possible.
Or the absolute bally limit, as Colonel Clary would have said.